Our next speaker is Dr. Alan Torbert. He'll be talking about the potential adherence of gypsum to forage as a consideration for excessive ingestion by ruminants.
Thank you. I want to start off by mentioning my co-authors, Dr. Chaney and Dr. Watts. And one thing I'd like to add about the contaminants, because co-author Dr. Chaney would want this to establish is a lot of the confusions about the contaminants is from the old gypsum that included the flue gas, but currently they take the flue gas out of fly ash out before they create the gypsum, and that eliminates the contamination levels down to where it's no longer a concern. My topic is on the consideration of gypsum sticking to forage, and I want to start out explaining why anybody would care about this. Where is the forward button on these things? Is it pitching? Okay, very good. Okay. So, as was mentioned, the NRCS now has a practice standard for using gypsum for amending soil properties, code 333. It includes the definition is using gypsum to derive products to change the physical and chemical properties of soil. And there's a lot of good purposes for this. Phosphorus runoff, ameliorate subsoil aluminum toxicity, and reduce the potential for pathogen transport. What you won't see there is for sodic soils, but that's not because it's not a good use of a gypsum. It's just because it was already a code in practice using for that. So, but there was one part of that that is considered about the using gypsum is do not allow livestock to access the stack piles and do not resume grazing until rainfall or irrigation has washed the gypsum off the vegetation. And this is because of potential of causing fellicifera, also known as PEM for obvious reasons, which is a neurological disorder, and it's not something that you'd want your cows to come down with. Symptoms include blindness, ataxia, muscle tremors, convulsions, and even sometimes death. They have seen this occur with this is caused by the excessive intake of sulfate. They have documented it where they were using gypsum as a food supplement. And so it became important for the NRCS to say this needs to be something that was cautioned about it. However, there's not been any research to demonstrate that this was really a concern. Had two basic questions that we wanted to establish with this study is, could gypsum application to forage have enough concentration of sulfate that it would become a risk for PEM to ruminant grazers? It's not a concern if you're not of livestock. It's only a problem with ruminants. And can, if it is a problem, can rainfall decrease that sufficiently that the risk is alleviated? So we've established a study to look at the potential for gypsum. We used three different rates, either 0, 1 ton, or 5 tons. Those rates cover the normal applications that you would expect for the processes that are covered in the standard. So we thought that was a good coverage. Most of them are around 1 to 2 tons per acre or metric tons per hectare for these treatments. But we also wanted to look at the possibility of different forage types, and ones that we chose were Bermuda grass and tall fescue, and we used four replications. talk about why we picked those four in just a second. We also had four sampling dates. The dates were we admitted after we applied the gypsum, we immediately sampled it to see how much gypsum would be adhered to the plants. Then we waited 1 week later, and with the idea that the gypsum would naturally work its way off the plant and into the soil, but before a rainfall that would wash it off. And then we just had these in the fields without any control, so we just waited to the first rainfall. The first rainfall came at about 15 millimeters, and a day later we had another rainfall that was 33 millimeters, and we measured after each one of those rainfall events to see how the gypsum might persist. So the grasses that we used, we wanted to look and see if the different types of forage might make a difference. So we picked two that are widely used for, at least in the southeast, for forage production. Bermuda grass is extensively used warm season grass, and it has a 5 to 40 centimeter height, but the leaf blades were 2 to 16 centimeters. The width was 1.5 to 5 millimeters wide, and that is in comparison to the tall fescue, which is a cool season grass that's used extensively in the southeast. And it's this has a much wider leaf, and that's about 12.7 millimeters on average, and which is about 8 times wider than what we had with the Bermuda grass. So we picked those thinking that it would be a good difference between those types of grass that could look for you if there was some potential differences. So things that we measured, we actually just measured calcium as a surrogate for gypsum concentration. So we sampled the plant tissues, we carefully cut it and bagged it up and made sure that we captured all the residue that was on the on the leaves, so that we would have a good measure of the calcium. We also measured total concentration of copper, iron, potassium, magnesium, manganese, nickel, phosphorus, and zinc. That was just to give us some background sample of the tissue, and we move forward from there. So just to get the micronutrients and nutrients out of the way, we did measure those. We did actually find some differences over the course of the study, but none of them related to the gypsum application. You couldn't tell any difference between the high rates of gypsum application or the over time, so that we knew that we were not having an impact from the gypsum on these nutrients. And this is the results of the data from the Bermuda grass and fescue, and we did find some significant differences both over time with the rain, after the rainfall, and with the rates. But rather than I'm just going to try to go through the results rather than try to dissect this table as it is. So immediately after the gypsum application, the tall fescue did have more adherence of gypsum compared to the Bermuda grass. Both of them increased the level of calcium, or therefore the level of gypsum that was adhered to it, much greater levels with the tall fescue compared to the Bermuda grass. Calculated out about 27.9 grams of gypsum that we were found at the highest difference between the control and the highest rate of application. This would translate into a sulfur concentration of about 0.25% in the diet if the cows were not, or the ruminants were not allowed to eat. That was the only source of food. About 0.4% sulfur is considered a risk for PEM. So there is a reason to be concerned about letting cows eat the forage immediately after the gypsum application. The Bermuda grass had lower concentrations. It only came out to 0.16% sulfur, which is probably not a risk for PM. So it could this risk could very well be species dependent. But after 1 week, there was no significant difference in a manured grass between the 0 and the 1 ton rate. There was some differences from the 5-ton rate. So even at the lower rates, if you just waited a week with Bermuda grass, you'd probably be all right. But the with the tall fescue, even at the 1-ton rate, we still had a 0.1% sulfur concentration. So you were still would have, be questionable whether, especially at higher rates, that it was safe to be feeding your ruminants. So what happened after rainfall? At the high application rates, there was a difference observed with both forages, even after a small rainfall. But it was lower than what you would think as a risk. However, no significant difference was observed at the last sampling date after we had a larger rainfall for either one of the forage species. So, The message from here is gypsums can be washed off the forage surface following the rain. And that's there's no research on gypsum that's been done in regarding forage applications, but there is a lot of research that's been done with biosolids. And biosolids do not wash off if they're allowed to dry on the forage. And so the issues of heavy metal contamination from biosolids, it does not wash off. It can only be dealt with increased growth, diluting the heavy metal effects. But with gypsum, the rain will wash it off, and it should not be an issue after you've allow your animals to forage on after rain. So, in conclusion. Gypsum application forage does have a potential risk for PM, but using application at normal beneficial rates that the agronomist would recommend and that's issued in the standard, it's not likely to result in concentration sufficient to cause PM ingestion if you discontinue grazing until after a rainfall event. And so with that, is there any questions? Not that I know of. I'm not going to say they're absolutely that doesn't exist, but not that I'm aware of. Obviously, that would be of a benefit. The dry matter. I mean, it's just the physical stickiness of a dry material on that leaf surface. So if it's a dry forage, it's going to have less. It's going to be clear that it's going to have a better path down to the soil surface where it's no longer a problem. One of the other concerns that they have seen with biosolids is that the structure of the leaf can also be important. So if you have a leaf structure that tends to cup and that the leaf can be caught in the material can be caught between the stem and the leaf, that would increase the likelihood of those biosolids. My feeling would be very similar with gypsum, and that the structure of the leaf could also be a very important aspect of it. Those details probably need to be worked out as we, as gypsum gets more and more higher use. But this is the first study just to say it is a problem.
Are there any concerns with large clumps of this material ending up in the forage area that the ruminants may have access to after the application?
I think that it's fairly well ground. It will clunk up, and it might, depending on how good your applicator is, you could have some clumps. I don't think so. There have been reports that directly on the piles because they are attracted to it. Those have not been substantiated. So, but the as but they have been with the diet. And so I would not think that would be a big concern. I think the clumps would work their way into the soil, and it's stuck on the leaves that would increase the intake in the diet. Anything else? So, all right, thank you.